The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you.
One of the scribes decided to ask Jesus, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, this is the first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the second. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other greater commandment than these. The scribe said to him, excellent teacher, you are right in saying he is the one, there is no other than he. Yes, to love him with all your heart, with all your thoughts, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbors yourself, is worth more than any burnt offering or sacrifice. Jesus approved the insight of this answer and told him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And no one had the courage to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
About 400 years ago, there was a mother that went to church with her little son who was about 3 years old. And the mother went up to receive communion, and her little son stayed back. When the mother came back, the little boy, who was about 3, placed his head over the heart of his mother. And the mother said, what are you doing? And the little boy said, I'm listening to Jesus' heartbeat within your heart. 3 years. The boy went to school, and he was a really good student. And he graduated from high school. Then he went on to get his degree in law. But he wasn't happy with that. So he became a priest. And this is right after the beginning of what is called the Protestant Reformation. And he was sent to Chablais, which was the stronghold of the Calvinists, back around the late 16th century. When he arrived, there were 56,000 Calvinists and 56 Catholics. When he finished after 3 years, there were 56,000 Catholics and 56 Calvinists. Basically, single-handedly, this one man converted the whole stronghold of Calvinism, which is obviously Protestantism. He came back to France and was ordained a bishop when he was about 25 years younger than me. Okay? So he was in his mid-30s, already ordained a bishop. Then he became one of the greatest preachers in the Catholic Church and wrote the greatest work, according to many, on love in the Catholic Church. And he died when he was about 57 years old, and now he's a doctor of the Church. His name is St. Francis de Sales. Okay? So I've given you a little summary of a super saint. But one day he was a little child in the arms of his mother. The first two words he said was, I love God and I love my mother. what a tribute, right? I'm sure he loved his father too, no? Don't feel bad, dads. No, but he had his favorite, no? Now, where did he get that faith? Did it just rain down from heaven? Good parents. Yep. Didn't happen by chance. Good parents. So as a little child, he was already educated in who God was, love for God, love for the church, and he went on to become, without a doubt, one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. You read his life, it'll blow you away. I mean, so many different stories in his life that I just think about him and I almost want to weep to see how holy this man was. No? If you like literature, you like English, this is one of my favorites. The love with which we should love God is to love Him without measure. That's Francis de Sales. I love that, don't you? La medida que debemos amar a Dios es amar la misma medida. To speak better Spanish, okay? It almost sounds better in Spanish than in English, no? But there's no measure to the love that we should love God with. Okay. Another story. Then I'm going to give you maybe three suggestions on what you have to do to transform these children into future Saint Francis de Sales. Okay? That's the thrust of my homily. These are future Francis de Sales or Saint Faustinas. Okay, they're future. If you know a little bit of philosophy, okay, Aristotle says act and potency. God is pure act. We're potency, which means we're potentially saints. All of these are future saints. The saints makers are mom and dad. Amen?
Amen.
Or oh me, okay? Better than amen, right? Okay, a few years ago, my parents have 39 grandchildren. Okay? It's a big family, especially for an American family, no? 39, no? And my father passed away about a year ago, a year and 4 months ago. And so as my father was getting old, rarely do I do it during the course of the year, but I travel to meet them, to visit them in Florida. They have a home in Vero Beach, which used to be the spring training camp for the Dodgers, okay? And when I was there, one of my nephews, who's one of my grandchildren, the oldest grandchild of my parents, who's now about 34, he already had his second child. Now he's got three, and his name is Michael. Okay, Michael the third, basically, because he's the third in the line of Michael Broom Jr. is his name. My brother is Michael Broom Sr. And they said he was only two that he could pray the rosary and the creed. I didn't believe him. I mean, 2 years old. How old is that guy?
Three.
So he's two. I said, that's impossible. So they brought the little kid in front of me, this chaparito, as they say in Spanish. So it's a little guy. He said, let's go, Mikey. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. And then the little kid went on to pray the rosary. Younger than this kid here. Okay. 2 days afterward, he turned three, so I'll give him three. But where did he learn that? Does he have, as the mystics say, infused knowledge? No? Where did it come from? Good parents. Maybe a possible prayers of the uncle who's the priest, yours truly. I don't want to toot my own horn, no? But the parents really worked to educate this little kid. I like to teach by means of images. Children are like sponges. Esponja, if you speak better Spanish. Esponja. Children are like sponges. What does a sponge do? Monica, what? Okay, absorb. You put a sponge, you put dirty water in, what are you going to wring out? You put spring clean water, what are you going to wring out? Clean water, right? Children are like that. John Locke in philosophy called tabula rasa, like a blank tablet, blank board, okay? And it's up to you to be inscribing holy things in your children. So one of the principal obligations is to get these children to know God. You hear the gospel, what I said? Or were you asleep when I was reading it? To know God, to love God, to serve God, so that they can get to heaven. The most important thing is, and you did the exercises, is principle and foundation, which is get to heaven. That's why we're here. We'll get to heaven. So, I'd like to suggest three things so you can really live out the baptismal commitment. Now it's interesting, the sacraments, the only sacrament that is taken in which the individual is not taking the initiative is baptism. The others, I mean, you first communion, confirmation, you take the initiative. But baptism, the initiative, who takes it are the parents. And secondarily, the godparents. So the first thing all of you should try to work on is to grow in your own prayer life. Okay, you have to grow in your own prayer life. And you pray. Right now we're giving a talk to a family, families over there in the other church. And I've got a talk in about 50 minutes I'm going to be giving. And one thing I'm going to be saying is you've got to consecrate yourself to St. Joseph and beware of the modern Herods in the world. Herod tried to destroy the Holy Family. And I'm going to give the people a little bit of basic philosophy. And the first one I'm going to say is sentimentalism. Know what that is? Yeah, do what you feel. If it feels good, just do it. Hmm? Yummy, yummy, got love in my tummy. You know, from the 60s, no? Okay? You just do what you feel. You can't do that. You got to do what God wants. And sometimes it's the cross. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's painful. So, pray even when you don't feel like it. You say you pray only when you feel like it, you are very immature. How many of you work? Or at least you fake it, okay? You work? Before being a priest, I had about 10 different jobs. I worked on General Motors, you know, back in the East Coast, making cars. And we made about 45 cars an hour, you know? So it was hard work. And I worked on that couple months in between my school year when I went to Villanova, which is a big basketball team, okay? But I did get up, you know, 4:30 in the morning. Whether I liked to or not, I had to get up. Because I worked on the line, and every car I had to bend over with one of those guns, the air guns, and shoot a couple of bolts in and throw a plastic mat in every minute and 15 seconds. Like, if I didn't show up, what would happen? There'd be 45 cars that wouldn't have that piece, and you had an inspector on the line. They'd say, "Who's working here?" "Oh, his name is Broom." "Ah, your name is Broom? Get on the broomstick, fly out, and don't come back again." That's what they would have said, no? Because I was negligent in not carrying out my obligation. So pray, even when you don't feel like it. Mother Teresa says, sometimes you have to smile at your husband when you don't even feel like it. Right, Tony? Uh-huh. Right, Alma? Yeah. Sometimes when you don't feel it, you got to smile and kind of fake it. "Hi, it's good to see you." So love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. Isn't that Aquinas? So love is in the will. Feelings come and go. Feelings come and go. Okay, next is this. How many Catholics here? Most of you are Catholics? Okay, más o menos, okay? Okay. If you're a Catholic, we are sanctified by Christ. But Christ is present in what's called his mystical body. That's called the church. So the most powerful means of sanctification are the sacraments. Are the sacraments. So if you want to be a light burning for these children, you have to receive the sacraments. It's not optional. It's obligatory. It's not as they say in Spanish, un quisiera. No, quisiera means, well, maybe I would like to do it. No, it's obligación. It's an obligation. You have to receive the sacraments. Otherwise, we're lost. No? And the two sacraments that you want to receive as often as possible. Confession and communion, the two C's, okay? Confession and communion. Gotta do that frequently. And every sacrament communicates what's called a specific sacramental grace that differentiates it from the other sacraments. Anyone here know what is the specific sacramental grace of the Eucharist? You're the teachers of your kids. You should know that. That's why I have to give long talks, huh? And long homilies, huh? And no one would be able to say that, but you really should know it. The specific sacramental grace of the Eucharist is nourishment, okay? It's nourishing your soul. Bread of life, right? Never read that? Elijah ate the bread and he walked 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. That's a symbol of the Eucharist. So, the Eucharist. Come to Mass as often as you can, even on a daily basis when you can. Okay? An analogy. How many people, if I told you, tomorrow at 4 in the morning, if you come and you shake my hand, I will give you $10 billion. Would you come? How many? Oh, you're... What are you?
Not all of us are
in. Okay, all of you. Yeah, I guess your sons and daughters are Trump. You already have the money, huh? Okay. I think everyone here would come and shake my hand, give the $10 billion. How many would come if I said, I'm gonna say Mass for you at 3 o'clock in the morning, Frank? What's more important, $10 billion or Holy Communion? Do you believe it? What is Holy Communion? Okay, you got it. Say it again. The body. Excellent. Hey, an applause for that guy. Hey, yeah. You got it. You're about to say that too, right? It was on the tip of your tongue. Yeah. He knew it, but he wanted you to give you. He deferred to you. Okay. One Holy Communion. That's God. That's worth more than the whole universe. So I've often reasoned. If someone really believed them, how could that person not come to daily Mass? I'm just using logic. Right, Frank? You say so, Father. But really, I mean, if you use reason, that's God, how could you not want to come to Mass every day? Yeah. I was so convinced that when I was 14 or 15, I would run 2 miles to church in the summer in New Jersey, then run back. So 4 miles. And in the church, I was sweating like a pig, really. Excuse my English, no? But it's because I really believed, if that's God, that's why I'm a priest, I believe, that's God, I got to go to Mass. I didn't have a driver's license yet. I was 14 or 15. The church is 2 miles away in Jersey. So you got to believe. You got to believe. And then, hey, this is a good one. There are a lot of women that go to a beauty parlor. I'm going to tell you, the best beauty parlor in the world, the confessional. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Amen? Best beauty parlor in the world is the confessional. You go to a beauty parlor, you waste $115, and sometimes it doesn't even work, huh? Yeah. Your husband won't tell you, but you know, sometimes it just didn't work this time. Or lo viento di Sant'Anna, se le va. That beauty parlor works. You go in ugly with sin, and you come out white as the snow. Amen? White as the snow. And it's free of charge. Free of charge. Niente di pagare un cinco. Free of charge. So you have to do that. And last but not least, you have to keep studying your Catholic faith. Studying your Catholic faith. All professionals in this country, they have to keep studying. Teachers, lawyers, architects, engineers, professionals in this country, they're constantly studying and studying and studying. A few years ago, I went to visit one of my brothers, who was the grandfather of that little kid. And He was preparing to take a test. He's in his mid-60s now, okay? And he's a orthopedic surgeon. What that is? A back surgeon, no? And I think, why does this guy have to take a test? He's already, you know, he's getting old. And he's a graduate from Dartmouth, summa cum laude Dartmouth, no? And then Columbia Medical School. So, it's the best in the country, no? Why does the poor guy have to study? If he makes a mistake as a doctor, $25,000 out of the pocket, no? You've got to be on the cutting edge of technology, a surgeon cutting edge of technology. Shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Hello?
Yes.
Or are we rinky-dink Catholics, huh?
No.
Are you a rinky-dink Catholic?
No.
And that means in Spanish, católica mediocre. Ni fu, ni fa, ni chicha, ni limonada. Okay? One of those types, huh? So, those are the three points. You got to pray. You got to receive the sacraments. And you got to study. You got to study your faith. Now, I'm not saying this to embarrass you, but I don't think anyone here, we're about 100, could tell me the Ten Commandments. And that's embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh.
I think I'm the only one here that could probably mention the Ten Commandments in Spanish and English. And here we are Catholics. Now, some of us are 30, 40, some of us are maybe 50 years old. Maybe older, no? Da vergüenza, right? And that shows that tons of people live in the Catholic faith. And you know why they leave, according to your friend Fulton Sheen? Very few people leave the Catholic Church for what the Church teaches, but what they think the Catholic Church teaches. Fulton Sheen. What they think. You ask some Catholics what the Church teaches, they got the most distorted ideas in the whole world. And maybe even among us, we got some distorted ideas of really what the Church teaches. So it's incumbent upon us, as the first teachers of our children, study. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. You got to study. So if you don't know your faith, your kids, they're lost. They're lost. You think the society, you think the school system, that's going to teach your kids about God? You can't even mention God. That's a taboo. You can't even mention God. Oh, they can pass out condoms, right? They can get pills. They're already starting satanic groups in San Bernardino in elementary schools. Satanic groups, San Bernardino. It's going to come to L.A., just a matter of time, but you can't mention God because that's wrong. So if you don't know your faith, your kids are going to be lost. Did your mother or father have a deep faith?
Yep.
You got to go deeper than your parents because they lived in a Christian society. We live in paganism. This is neo-paganism. So if your parents are strong, you got to be twice as strong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
We can win the battle, but we got to prepare ourselves. The battle is upon us. But God is on our side. So let's pray that this baptism will not be for many just a social event, but it'll be a deep spiritual experience which all of us are going to try to become saints. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.